What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Dolphins in Depth podcast. I'm Daniel Ifuisi. That is David Neal. Thanks so much for tuning in. Quick reminder before we start, make sure to subscribe to my YouTube page, like, share, comment, all that good stuff, as well as subscribe to the Miami Herald, as always. So I am back from my 2 week stay in California. I had a good time. I cannot say the same for the Miami Dolphins. I cannot. It was a trip to forget. Two
Never
games.
confuse the team we cover, the fortunes of the team you cover, with how good a time you have.
I had a good time. I'm not gonna lie. Ate well.
Right. Hey, that's what's matter. That's what matters.
Yeah. But as I said, the Dolphins, it was a trip to forget. Two games on the West Coast, two losses, a 5-game winning streak vanishes all of a sudden. The Dolphins now maybe in a precarious spot with their playoff positioning, sitting at 8-5. They're in the sixth seed, so they're still in playoff positioning. But those dreams of an AFC East crown, potentially number one seed, I mean, those are slowly and slowly disappearing. Dolphins, according to 538 projections, still have a 74% chance to make the playoffs, but just a 7% chance to win the division after losses to the San Francisco 49ers. And as we all saw, the Los Angeles Chargers on Sunday night, a 23-17 loss that continued head-scratching struggles for this offensive unit that was explosive, dynamic, efficient. Tua MVP, Tyreek Hill, 2,000 yards. It was a bad night again for that offense, and they're searching for answers to what is going wrong with this offense all of a sudden. They're not going to have long to prepare and to mull over what went wrong, because they got to make a quick trip back up to Orchard Park to face the Bills in a game that could be nasty. We could be some snow, it could be some frigid temperatures. I'm not looking forward to that, but I got a job to do. We're going to talk.
The press box is heated and warm.
That Bills press box is not, but that's a story for another day.
I've been
But
at those times. That's fine. You're gonna be fine.
as I said, the Dolphins, they got some work to do after a very, very bad trip out to the West Coast. They're sitting at 8-3, first place in the AFC East. That was short-lived. They're now, as I said, in the sixth spot, in the wild card spot. But again, four games left. They're still in a position where if they take care of business the next 4 weeks, win all or most of their games, they should be in the playoffs. We have to start on Sunday night with that 6-point loss, as I said, in a game where after a lot of struggles in San Francisco to a team that by all accounts is one of the best teams or one of the better teams in the NFC, you transition, you go down to South Carolina, so Southern California, where not Carolina, California, where they had a matchup with a Chargers team and really a defense that we all thought was ready made for a breakout game. I mean, this was a Chargers defense that, as we spoke of last week, is one of the worst units in terms of yards per play, points per play. They look nothing like that on Sunday night. They had a very unique, a very soundproof game plan against the Dolphins, one that they really haven't seen over the course of this season, which was to rough up the Dolphins receivers, not let them run over the middle of the field. And the Dolphins had no answers. His first five, I mean, it took to his fifth pass attempt to get a completion. He finished 10 of 28, I believe, for only 145 yards. I mean, the only game he's thrown for fewer yards is in week four when he got knocked out with the concussion. In the run game, again, we talked about the run game where this potentially being a game where they could get the run game going, but it was nowhere to be found. And it was even magnified by Jeff Wilson getting knocked out of that game with a hip injury. In the end, I mean, we had a lot in that game, and we had a slow start. They went down, I believe, 10-0 at one point, and then we get that kind of crazy fumble to Tyreek Hill, and the ball just kind of squirts out of the pile, and he gets it, and he runs 50 something yards for a touchdown. You kind of thought, like, okay, the game was on the ropes. I mean, this could potentially get blown out, in a bad way for the Dolphins, and they get that kind of fortuitous touchdown. And you were thinking that maybe that's the thing that turns things around, but they just never really could. They got a 60-yard touchdown pass to Tyreek Hill in the third quarter. Cornerback tripped, but it was a nice play call, nice play, nice catch. But outside of that, just really not much to show for. And again, the Dolphins are kind of wondering, how do they fix what ails them on offense now? I mean, this was an offense that was clicking on all cylinders just a couple of weeks ago, and they've come to a screeching halt. I got to ask you, who is at fault for the Dolphins' offensive struggles? Because when I look at this offense, I was very confident that they were going to be able to turn things around after the San Francisco game. I mean, I thought that there were a lot of opportunities in the San Francisco game. I thought that the plays that they designed, guys were open. Tua had missed some of them. Got to give credit to the 49ers for making some plays. But when I rewatched the game, I saw a lot of instances where guys just weren't open. I mean, they had cornerbacks and safeties and linebackers draped over them. Very, very tight coverage. We had gone accustomed to seeing Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle just kind of run over the middle of the field with nobody near them, nobody contesting them. That wasn't the case on Sunday. And as much as that, we talked about the Justin Herbert, Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Herbert angle last week, and how, at this point, they've kind of proven that you can win with them. That was a very damning performance where, again, it's not all on Tua, but by and large, he wasn't really able to elevate that unit. And you have Justin Herbert on the other side with his receivers finally back and healthy. And he was surgical. He was efficient. He was methodical. I mean, the final drive, he just took over that drive in terms of making the right passes and making tough passes to contested guys, to really milk that game away. So obviously, I don't want to harp too much on that, but it was a very damning performance, and the disparity in the performances leads a lot of people to back to that discussion and saying, oh, well, Tua isn't the guy. I really, for the first time all season, I really have to put a lot of the blame on Coach Mike McDaniel as the offensive play caller for not making the adjustments. I mean, so many times we've seen him dial up so many great plays and, have different, ways to figure out a play. If one guy isn't open, you can go down your read and you can find somebody open. But it just seemed like those plays just weren't there. And really, I have to criticize him for, the lack of commitment to the running game. I mean, we spoke so much last week about how this is a defense that is averaging, allowing 5.4 yards per run, the worst mark in the NFL. That was a game where obviously hindsight is 20/20, but that's a game when you come out and or whatever. And that's a game where you come out and you run it 25 times. Like the first three plays were passes on the first drive, three and out. I mean, it should have been three runs, honestly, and take advantage and exploit that matchup from the get-go. I mean, we saw them do that against the Browns. We saw them do that against other teams. I don't understand why, especially when you see your quarterback is off a little bit and the receivers aren't getting the separation that you're accustomed to seeing. You run the ball. I mean, you try to – I mean, even if it's second and 10, you run the ball, you try to get a 3-4-yard gain, set up some of these more manageable third-down situations. And we even saw, later on in that game when they would run the ball. I mean, they got some nice runs from Mostert. They got some nice runs from Wilson until he was knocked out. Again, there's always blame to go around. Like nobody is absolved of blame and everyone should be held accountable. But that was a game where you look at it and the Chargers coaching staff led by Brandon Staley, who's the defensive minded guy, I mean, he outcoached Mike McDaniel. I mean, we've given Mike McDaniel a lot of praise, a lot of applause for being such a great offensive mastermind. But this was a game where he really came up short. And I don't want to say he failed his team, but he didn't have a game plan or the adjustments to put his guys in a position to succeed.
Yeah, I thought right from the start you saw San Diego one. They weren't reacting.
Los Angeles, Los Angeles.
Right.
Los Angeles. We got to get a swear jar. We got to get a swear jar.
Right. Right. The Chargers. the former John Hadles, the former Lance Allworths, former Dan Fouts. They dropped off very quickly on those early plays. They, as if they knew, okay, look, you're going to come out, you're going to try to run, you're going to You give me the little play action look, like you're going to run the ball, and then you're going to try to hit somebody, you know, cutting over the middle on a slant or on a deep in or something. And they were it was like they were just living between the hash marks,
yeah,
defensively, and they did that right from the start. And the doll, you know, I don't think Tua was terribly accurate, but I'm not sure that mattered because the guys were just covered. Now, I'm not sure that mattered with the skills that Tua has. We saw Justin Herbert hit some passes that, you know, the guy was covered and he lasered one in there, and it's the kind of place where you go, okay, if he's gonna hit that, then
good game. I gotta tip my hat to you, like, good
right,
game.
Yeah, and you know, we just gotta not much you can do about it, and you gotta hope somebody drops it, because but I thought there were plays where I saw, for example, and maybe the guy wasn't even, maybe, you know, in the scheme of the play, this back flaring out wasn't even, you know, in
he's
his,
like the last read or something read. Like that, yeah.
And you know, it is a timing thing. It's, you know, one, two, boom, let's go. And, but it seemed to me there were plays where you say, okay, there are the usual, you know, three-step drop or, you know, quick, you know, play action fake, hit somebody cutting, or that's not working. And so let's do something where we give them the same look, but somebody else is the primary receiver. And also, definitely, you're right. I mean, it's amazing how quickly these days people give up on the run in the NFL. And maybe it's, I don't know if they have convinced that, you know, offensive linemen are not, you know, they come out of college, they're not the run blockers they used to be, you know, because colleges are throwing the ball around, every, you know, all the time also. And, you know, guys are, they're not used to, you know, the kind of just pounding it. But, you know, it seems like, okay, you run the ball on first down. Oh my goodness, it's 1 yard. And people start treating second and nine like it's third and nine. And instead of saying, hey, wait a minute, these guys are giving up 5 yards a pop. That means if they stop you for one, you know, somewhere they're going to give up six, seven, eight, nine in the next couple.
Yeah.
You know, that's what the math says. And I, you know, honestly, I haven't watched the Chargers enough to know that, you know, is that average skewed by a couple of huge ones? Maybe it is. Okay, fine. If it is, then let's, you know, continue to try to get that big chunk run or that big gash run. It, without that commitment to the running game, without that shift to say, okay, maybe, you know, this isn't working, let's do something else for a while, and let's try to get. They just kept doing the same thing. They, you know, they didn't respect the play, any play action fakes. They, you know, and kept everything in the middle of the field. And they kept saying, okay, keep trying to hit that pass. You know, keep trying to hit those passes you were hitting for, you know, 4 or 5 weeks. And the Dolphins couldn't do it. And, you know, Tua couldn't do it. He did, you know, he obviously didn't have one of his best games, but I don't think he was helped out by any adjustments or scheme. Is where you go in at halftime and say, or halftime, first quarter, second quarter, I mean, you know, there's, you know, you're sitting there with all this information at your fingertips now on the sidelines. Somebody had to come, you know, somebody had to come up with something to say, okay, look, let's do something different. Instead, it looked like the Dolphins, to, you know, the eye of the people, eyes of people who don't, you know, get paid six or seven figures to, you know, coach the game, it looked like they really did the same, kept doing the same thing for four quarters the other night. And it, you know, and it worked really for one play. And, you know, you got kind of the fluke, you got a, you know, the holy roller two, and, you know, but yeah, it just wasn't working. And then also another thing you would want to run the ball a little bit is the defense was on the field
so long. I mean,
my goodness. And after being on the field a long time in San Francisco.
Yeah, it's the second straight game where they're doubled up in time of possession, doubled up in plays. I mean, it's gonna take a hole. And a lot of people were criticizing the defense, and they weren't perfect by any means. Like, you'd like them to get a stop. I mean, you have a similar situation where in San Francisco, where you need to get a late stop, make sure it's not a two-score game. You'd love for them to get a stop, but I mean, they were on the field a ton. I mean, they went to the red zone 6 times in that game, and the Chargers only got two touchdowns. I mean, obviously one of those was on kind of a really weird late half situation where, you know, they're at the 17-yard line, you give up 16, and then they end up going for it on fourth down. Obviously, that was a bad scenario, a bad situation sequence. But outside of that, I mean, you only give up one other touchdown. You get a red zone stop on fourth down on the first drive. And outside of that, you take field goals. I mean, the defense is what it is at this point. I mean, we've said this multiple times. I mean, I don't think that they're going to be an elite defense. I don't even think they're going to be a very good defense, but I think they can be good in spurts. And at the end of the day, they only gave 23 points. With that offense, with those caliber of players that the Dolphins have, that should be enough. 17 points and seven of it essentially on a fluke play. I mean, that's just not going to cut it.
Yeah, that's really is. I mean, this was on the offense. This was on the offense. And, you know, the defense wasn't perfect. But the guys on the other side who get paid, the guys in the blue with the lightning bolts in their helmets, they were really good that night.
Yeah,
they were really good, and you know, it was one of those games. I kept looking at the score, going, "Is it really just this bad? I mean, just this is still this close."
I said it could have got a lot worse for the Dolphins. I mean, this could have been a blowout.
Aren't they? They're not behind by 20 because it felt like except for like the 5 minutes after the, you know, holy roller two, it felt like they were down by, like, you know, 14 to 20 the whole night. And then, you know, and then you look up and it's like 20 to 14. You're like, okay, oh my goodness. They're one, you know, slip defensive back. And it felt like that was going to take another slip by a defensive back because they weren't getting away from anybody. They weren't creating separation. They weren't running away from anybody. They were, you know, but it felt like a rookie head coach kind of got caught there, and a rookie head coach who's used to things going well, and I don't know, maybe I just feel like he got caught and didn't shift gears, didn't say, okay, look, let's just start doing something else. And yeah, it wasn't a good look for the coaching staff. It wasn't good night for obviously Tua. I mean, that's like electric football passing quarterback numbers, 10 of 28. I mean, that's like, you know, 1939 numbers. And yeah, it's, and again, like I said, that to keep doing that when your defense is clearly getting worn down, and not even to try to say, okay, look, we're this possession, we're unless they stick, you know, nine guys in the box, we're running through the ball three times. We are running the ball. We are giving, you know, we're taking some time off the clock. We are doing something else, and, you know, not, you know, that's giving our defense time. So even if it's a three and out, it's,
yeah, at least you're
more minutes
building some time
than two is sacked, you know, we're punting. And the turnaround's certainly no gift. Saturday night in Buffalo. Yay. I think it's on the coaching staff, and Tua doesn't possess the ability to over to get the ball into those spaces. Or if he does, he just wasn't even close to it Sunday night in those minimal spaces that the Chargers were giving and that they were, that his, the receivers were creating. Yeah, it's.
Yeah, it's just one of those days. I think one of the things that sometimes we forget, as good as the Dolphins offense has been this season, is that, you know, Mike McDaniel was a rookie head coach. I mean, you mentioned it. This is his first time really calling play calls as the main guy. You know, he's had stints as offensive coordinator, and he's been involved with a lot of game planning. But, you know, when you're in terms of when you're kind of in the line of fire in the game, calling plays, it's a little bit different. So it's a learning experience for him as well. You know, I did ask Tua whether he thinks on a week-to-week basis and in-game basis, the correct adjustments are being made. And he said, yeah, he said a lot of it is just what we need to do. But obviously, you know, you're not going to throw any players or any coaches under the bus, but, you know, but definitely, you know, the proper adjustments haven't been made yet. And it doesn't get any tougher. It doesn't get any easier, excuse me, on Saturday night facing a Bills team that has one of the better defenses, if not, you know, one of the best defenses in the NFL. So they're definitely going to have to be on their P's and Q's as well with, you know, a lot of the other extracurricular, you know, with the weather and just the atmosphere that could take place. So it's going to be a tough task. So if the Dolphins want to, you know, hold on to that playoff positioning, they're going to have to, you know, make some changes on a short week. We're going to take a short break, but when we come back on the other side of things, we're going to discuss that game. It's a tough turnaround for the Dolphins. They flew back on, you know, Sunday night. They're back in Miami. We're just only for a few days before they head back to Orchard Park for a big rematch against the Buffalo Bills. Can the Dolphins pull off the upset in Orchard Park? We're going to discuss that and more. So stay locked with us. What's going on, everybody? Still here on the Dolphins in that podcast with Dave and Neil.
Still here.
Still here. Always still here. Talking to all things Dolphins. And we got to look ahead to this highly anticipated matchup. Maybe a little bit of the juice has been taken out of it with the Dolphins' two-game losing streak. Nah, because we hold up. You got to for the people who
can't see. It's in snow. It's going to be cold.
David gave me an incredulous look when I said that for the people who aren't watching on YouTube. But again, you know, a couple of weeks ago, the Dolphins were first place in the AFC East. This was maybe looking to be a matchup that could to decide who wins the division. But now two games back of Buffalo, it looks like Miami is more gunning for that wild card spot. But nonetheless, it's still a very, very important matchup. I mean, it is a matchup that could be played in the elements, looking at the weather forecast for the lovely Orchard Park. With just a couple weeks ago, got what was it 6-7 feet of snow. They had to move the game to Detroit. I'm not sure if we're gonna get to that point for this game, but just looking at the weather report, a high of 35 degrees during the day, at nighttime a low of 27, overcast with a couple of snow showers, a 49% chance or probability of precipitation. With wind gusts of up to 22 miles per hour. So, I mean, it's not going to look like Miami. I'll tell you that. It's not going to look like Miami in early September, late August. You know, the Dolphins are going to have to, I mean, if the Dolphins are going to, you know, keep on with their playoff push, I mean, they're not only going to have to beat the Bills, but they're going to have to beat the elements. And I mean, obviously this is very notable just given that, you know, in Miami, this is not weather that they see very often. You know, we talk so much about the advantage with the heat in South Florida and the humidity. I mean, I'm not sure either team has the advantage, but the Dolphins definitely doesn't play into the strong suits, strengths of the Dolphins, a team that likes to pass the ball downfield. We know the knock on Tua over the years has been, you know, struggles in inclement weather. We all remember the Tennessee game from last season where he struggled to throw the ball in the rain. We remember the Buffalo game with the playoff spot on the line from his rookie season where there were some elements and he struggled there. So, I mean, I got to say, I mean, we just talked about on the other first half of the pod, you know, Mike McDaniel not running the ball. I mean, he might have no choice in this. And this might be one of those weird games where, hey, I mean, you kind of throw all things out. of the window, and you just hunker down, and you have a very, very concise and clear game plan, and you just get it done. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much they're going to be able to throw the ball. I just based off what I'm reading with this weather report. I mean, if you have 10 mile per hour winds and wind gusts up to 22 miles per hour, that doesn't really bode well for being able to throw the ball downfield. Neither of these teams are very good rushing teams, although the Bills are a little bit better just because they have Josh Allen at quarterback. But yeah, I mean, it's just going to be a different matchup. I mean, honestly, when the weather is this bad, I'm not sure how much you can count on. I don't know how much you can bank on that week three game. You know, we all remember that a lot of injuries for the Bills. I mean, that was also a game that, you know, was very, very hyped as well, because the Dolphins were on to they had a 2-0 start to the season. The Bills obviously were playing without a lot of starters and key players. Dolphins defense was on the field for what seemed like the entire game. But they made the key stops at the end, including you know, that big stop as the Bills were trying to get it in field goal range and get out of bounds. Again, I just don't know how much you can bank on that. I don't even know. I mean, obviously, you use that as a reference for your game plan and, you know, your practice throughout the week. But it's like the Dolphins really might have to philosophically change what they can do. And I'm not sure if they're equipped to do that. I mean, forget, you know, being successful running the ball. I mean, the Dolphins haven't really shown a commitment to running the ball very often this season. But they might have no choice in Buffalo. So it's going to be a tough game. I mean, I think that preseason, I mean, I did see this as a stretch in my preseason predictions. I did see this as a stretch where you probably do lose three games in a row, because these are all very good teams and very tough matchups. And, you know, you always have to factor the weather and the environment in Buffalo. That's only going to make things tougher for a Dolphins team. They're just not right on offense. I mean, there was a report that they had space heaters in LA at SoFi Stadium. I mean, I know it's a little, I was just saying, you know, during our break, I was just saying, you know, it was a little chilly in LA, but I mean, if you need space heaters for LA, I mean, I don't know what you're going to do in the park when it's snowing and it's, you know, sub-freezing, temperatures. So I mean, it's gonna be tough, and it's gonna be a real uphill battle. I mean, they're gonna really need to. I mean, if they win this game, I mean, it's gonna be by far their most impressive and their biggest win to date.
Well, let's remember that. Yeah, this is a team. They're not used to these elements. They're not used to playing in the snow. They're not used to playing in the cold. That said, I mean, Tyreek Hill kind of played pretty well in the cold in Kansas City.
I mean,
I've seen plenty of good passing games in the snow. The trick is the wind. The snow actually sometimes works in favor of
the offense and
the offense, because it's hell if you're a cornerback trying to react to things.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen years and years of, you know, people like, you know, lighting people. I think Tom Brady lit up, I want to say Tennessee.
Yeah, yeah. They had the throwbacks on, and they just
gave them. Oh, yeah. Well, they put a big 50 burger on them.
Yeah.
And, you know, but when you combine the snow with the wind, then it's getting a little, then you get a little interesting. And then I think that does, now Buffalo is going to be stubborn and say, well, we've got a big arm quarterback, we shall go downfield.
I mean, that's the narrative that, you know, that's why you get the big arm quarterback, so he can throw through the inclement weather.
Right. They're going to stay with it because, as you said, they don't run the ball particularly well. And, you know, the Dolphins have a decent run defense. And, you know, I don't see the Bills pounding it on the Dolphins. So Buffalo is going to keep trying to do what they do and hoping that, you know, guys running downfield also create space for, you know, their best runner, Josh Allen, to, you know, then scramble and run for, you know, however many yards he wants to run for. On the Dolphins side, they think they just say, okay, look, we need to work the running game this week. however we need to do it. You know, we need to, you know, we need to work it, and we need to work it early. And because I have a very hard time seeing Tua throwing, I mean, throwing some deep balls in, if you're talking wind again,
22 mile per hour wind gusts.
Gusts. Right. Yeah. You know, even, yeah. That's tough. I think that's tough for him. And so that means, hey, you know, your pass patterns are, again, they're probably going to be in a pretty confined area then. And you're probably going to be between the hashes. I don't see a lot of stuff going, you know, all the way to the other side of the field outside the hash. Could you make those throws? Well, maybe. I mean, Chad Pennington always seemed to make them when he needed to. And, you know, his nickname was Noodle to everybody else in the, you know, all the other teams in the league, because didn't have a strong arm. But, and he made those throws in Giant Stadium, which was not a great place to, you know, that was windy all the time. And so, you know, I think, can Tua make some of those throws? Probably.
I mean, we're going to find out. We're going to find out. I mean,
conceptually, are they going to set him up to, you know, make some of those throws that guys aren't just being sat on? Because if one of those throws, if you don't do that, you know, you're just playing, you're just throwing dice until the pick six comes back the other way.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be a tough game, but I don't think it's a unwinnable game for the Dolphins. I think the Bills are, yeah, are they the best team in the AFC? Again, we've gone back and forth on this. Some weeks they've looked like the best team in the NFL. Some weeks they've looked like the second best team in the division or third best team in the division. You know, it's, and so, you know, if they come out and, you know, and have one of those days where they're kind of, you know, pooping on the carpet, well, you know, they'll be there for the Dolphins. There's going to be something. It's the game will be available for the Dolphins.
Yeah. I mean, going back to the weather point real quick, I mean, I think that in terms of precipitation and snow, I feel like the wind might be, it definitely feels like the wind might be more of a factor, which goes to the point of, you know, if it's wind, or if there was going to be more snow, that's a game where you still might be able to throw the ball downfield, you know, but with the wind being present, you might really need to lean it on that run game, and that might be a little bit tougher. Like, I was thinking, like, this feels like a Jeff Wilson game. Like, you give him the ball 20 times, you give Raheem Mostert about 10 carries, you know, and if need be, and you get the job done. But obviously Jeff Wilson is dealing with a hip injury. The team didn't practice Tuesday, but they put out a estimated injury report, and he was listed as a non-participant, like an estimated non-participant, as well as Teron Armstead, who's now dealing with a knee injury. So that's something to monitor as well. So if he can't play, I mean, you really don't have, you got a lot of kind of smaller backs. Raheem Mostert, you know, doesn't have the same body build as Jeff Wilson. I mean, if Wilson can't play, that's a lot tougher. You said this is not an unwinnable game. I mean, Vegas thinks that it's a pretty lopsided matchup. We always talk about the line. I mean, it's 7.5 right now, 7.5 dogs for Miami. The over-under is 42.5, which I think kind of lends to the belief that, you know, the weather won't prohibit, you know, movement too much. Not the highest line, but I mean, it could be. I mean, I've seen a lot lower lines. But I mean, truthfully, I mean, before the season, I picked this to be a stretch where the Dolphins, you know, lose three straight before, you know, kind of turning things around in their final three games. I'm going to still stick with it. I mean, I think the Dolphins I think this isn't the matchup right now for them to turn things around, especially if the weather plays more of a factor on Saturday night. I think that they will come prepared, but I don't think that this is the matchup for the offense to get back on track. I think the defense will play well. But, you know, Josh Allen, I think he will show that, again, he's the best player on that field. And we didn't really mention it too much, but I mean, Bills are going to come ready to play. I mean, they were very frustrated about the way that that week three game ended. They thought that that was a game that they had no business losing with how often and how long their offense was on the field. They're going to come ready. It's going to be a primetime matchup. We know how crazy the Bills fans are. Orchard Park at their stadium, Bills Stadium. I mean, they're going to come ready to play as well. And I just don't think that this is the right matchup for the Dolphins to get back on track. I'm going to take the Bills in this game 20-10. I think that's another one of those games where we just kind of see those prolonged struggles for stretches. They stay in it. They stay kind of close in it, but they're not able to really take control of that game. I'm taking Buffalo 20-10.
I agree with you on Buffalo. I think also can either coach also commit themselves to playing a field position game, depending on the elements. And it's hard for coaches these days to do that.
Well, how does the potential weather impact? I mean, we know Mike McDaniel is a guy that goes for it on fourth down. I mean, he has no problem doing that. I mean, do you think that, I mean, in some ways, couldn't the weather kind of make him more likely to do that? I mean, you're not going to take, I mean, in those winds, and if the wind is that bad, you're not going to take a 50-yard field goal on maybe fourth and four. No. I mean, you might just go for it, you know, right there.
No, you wouldn't take a 50-yard field goal, but you play, to me, I might be thinking old school, but to me, okay, if I'm not going to be able to nail the field goal, I want my punter to put you inside the 10. And then I'm going to make you try to move the ball, you know, out and flip the field. I'm going to say, okay, put the pressure on you to not make a mistake deep in your end. That gives me, you know, a really short field. Maybe a chip shot field goal, you know, or, you know, a short field to actually get in the end zone. You know, whack is it maybe. Yeah. I think it's a game where you do play depending on just how bad it is. You maybe do play a lot of field position and you win the coin toss. Maybe you decide, okay, well, you guys decide whether you want the ball or not. We're taking this end, you know, or that end.
Yeah, because of the way the wind is blowing and stuff like that. Yeah.
Right. You know, you maybe pay attention to at the end, near the end of a quarter, if they're getting into scoring range near the end of the quarter and it's against the wind and, you know, maybe you call timeout. So they have to do whatever they're going to do into the wind. That kind of mindset, I don't think it's natural to Mike McDaniel yet. And, you know, if you've had to be a coach in Buffalo, it's something you've had to deal with before, and you're a little more prepared for that. Not saying that Mike McDaniel can't be prepared for that. You know, that's what he's paid to do, and I'm quite sure he's, you know, if we're sitting here talking about it, I'm quite sure he's, you know, thought about it, you know, processed it, done the math in his head, and, you know, is figuring out a plan for that. So, I don't see too many field goals in this game. So, and probably see a missed extra point. So you're 20-10 sounds pretty good, but I'm going to go 27-13. I'm gonna go with all touchdowns, and, you know, we got a couple missed extra points, and maybe somebody runs something back, that's another thing. The Dolphins really need to improve on special teams.
Yeah, I mean, it just hasn't been. I mean, Jason Sanders is starting to get it together a bit. I mean, he's made some kicks, and he looks like he's regaining his confidence. But in terms of the return teams, I mean, they had a nice play to start off that game against the Chargers, but too often, I mean, guys are getting 10, 15 yard returns, and it's just really changing the complexion of the drive. You know, instead of starting from the
Right.
15, they're starting from the 30. Instead of starting from the 30, I mean, they're starting there in midfield. I mean, it isn't, it's not doing the defense any favors. And, you know, when you're losing, you know, it's the little things that like add up. You know, it's like, all right, like your things aren't going well, but that 15 yard return, it's just adding to it. I mean, when things are going well on offense and defense, special teams can just kind of, you know, rub the salt in the wound. So they definitely got to figure out a way to fix that the final month of the year.
Mm-hmm. And it also, you know, when things are going well, that's, you know, teams play, is that something that can pick you up? It's the, you know, whether it's a block punt, whether it's a, you know, you get a good long punt return, you get a good smack on a, you get a good hit on a punt return, you know, the other way, or kickoff return, it just, you know, you create a turnover or some, you know, something that makes you feel like, okay, we've got things going our way. Or at worst, nothing's going right for us, but we're starting this drive at the 45, either 45, which is fine, but yeah, we're starting our drive there. So even if we do nothing, you know, at least we're going to put them in a bad situation. And that, you know, kind of frees your mind up a little bit, instead of, oh, great, we're starting at the, you know, we're starting at the our 17. Yeah, we better not screw anything up. And which, you know, that's a concern with the Bills pass rush. It's going to be a tough game, but I don't think it's an unwinnable game. I mean, like you said, the matchup doesn't look good for the Dolphins, but as we've seen this NFL season, I mean, like we've said, this is not a season. There's no great teams in this league, and there's not a lot of consistency outside of Philadelphia, maybe, but there really isn't. I mean, look at Dallas last week.
Yeah,
what? Dallas had no business. One thing, Dallas, that game had no business being that close if you just look at those two teams. And then flip it on, Houston, 1 yard away from putting the game away, you know, never does it. And Dallas drives like, you know, 98 yards. Dallas had no business winning that game, you know. So I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, yeah, the Dolphins have no chance in Buffalo, when that just happened when the Texans are one of the worst teams I've seen in a long time. So,
yeah. I mean, every, you know, it's every even Sunday for a reason, you know. But as we said, it's not an unwinnable game, but certainly a tough task facing a very talented Bills team on a short week after you just spent, you know, 10 days or so out on the West Coast, traveling back cross country to Miami. There's not a lot in the Dolphins' favor right now, so they're definitely gonna have to hunker down. And if they win this game, I mean, they certainly would have earned it. We're both taking the Bills in this game, but we will see how it all turns out.
We both took the chart. We both took the Dolphins last week too.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, so maybe. maybe that shows how much we know. You know. Yeah,
we'll see. A bad pick about. But what, 30 seconds into the game, we're going.
Yeah. I was like, all right. Yeah, after that 3-and-out, you're like, yeah, this might be a long night. But as I said, we'll see if they can turn things around on Sunday night in front of another primetime nationally televised audience. Well, that brings us to the end of another edition of the Dolphins in Depth podcast. I want to thank you guys, as always, for tuning in. Make sure to subscribe to Miami Hero YouTube page. Subscribe to Miami Hero. This is a short week, but we're still going to have a ton of coverage. Already got a film study up. News from the Dolphins estimated practice report. A lot of stuff coming up in the upcoming days as we preview the big game in Orchard Park. We'll be back next week to preview another week of Dolphins football. But until then, you guys take care. See ya. Peace.